Now we're coming to a different title for the enemy of our soul, found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, what's the next two words? The devil. As a, what's the next two words? Roaring lion. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I want to call your attention to the phrase, roaring lion. I think sometimes that we talk a lot about different aspects of God's creation, and I deal a lot with that. But I think here this passage referring to the enemy of our soul as a roaring lion gives us some real insight to his characteristics. Now, first of all, I don't look for everyone to be blessed by this message today, but I do look for a lot of people to find help from this message today. Because some things are just reality from the Word of God. We can't change the Bible. What it says, it says. What it means, it means. And you can't change it. And I think that this will maybe help enlighten us a little bit as to some things that we need to know. First of all, if we're going to face the enemy, there's a couple of things that we need to do according to this passage. First, you need to be sober. Now, the word sober is just what you think it is. When someone is not intoxicated, they are sober. And the difference between the two, the person that is intoxicated, that is not sober, loses control. They have no control of what they're saying sometimes, what they're doing. They lose the ability to control. And what he's saying, get this in mind, the devil's not in charge. He's not in control. So he said, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to take control of some things. You've got to take control of who you are, who he is, who Christ is, the power of his word. You have to take control of those things. And then he says to be vigilant. That means that you're aware of him. Now, if you don't believe in him, you're not going to be aware of him. But that doesn't mean that he's not there and that he doesn't exist. For years, we had heard about the terrible enemy that was out to get this nation. We called them terrorists. But as long as terrorists were somewhere else, we were fine dealing with that. We didn't want to be aware that they really existed because they were somewhere else doing their evil. But on 9/11, everything changed. We became aware that the enemy could come to where we are. And that's what he's saying here. You ought to be aware of the fact. He's trying to get in and he's trying to do what he can. Well, why does he do that? There's three reasons that we need to do those two things. Be sober and also be vigilant. One reason is because he is adversarial. He is your enemy. He comes against you. He is your adversary. Mark the words your. He's after you. Take this personal. He's after you. He doesn't just pick on somebody else all the time. He doesn't just pick on individuals that are weak. He's after you. If you claim the name of Christ, he is your adversary. He's not only adversarial, but also he's active. He walketh about and he seeketh. He's telling us that he is like a lion that is seeking out its prey. Now, the good thing is, he has to come to your territory to do that. And when he's on your territory, that's a lot different than you being on his domain. Because he has the advantage when you're on his domain. But he is active. He's doing all that he can. He's trying to find that weakness. He's trying to find that weak ability that you have to take advantage of you. And then two, notice his appetite, that he may devour. I'm glad it doesn't say that he will devour you, that he may devour you. That leaves possibility. That means there must be a way out even though he is seeking you, even though he is stalking you, there has to be a way out that he cannot devour you. And that's what I want to focus on today. There's three things about a lion, a roaring lion, that I think may help you in dealing with lions. Three senses that they have. First of all, let's think about their nocturnal sense. They are active the most in the dark. Lions sleep 18 to 20 hours a day, or rest 18 to 20 hours a day. The 4 to 6 hours that they're active, they're the most active in seeking prey at dark. When it's getting dark, when it's coming out of darkness, they can see in the dark. So they're active in darkness. Now that tells me something. If you are a believer, it's dangerous in the dark. But also, if the devil is after you, you're safe in the light. So whatever you do, you want to avoid darkness because that's where they're most effective. And what he's saying to us, remember who you are. Would you turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 5? And let me just remind you of the warning that God's word gives to us when we're trying to deal with this roaring lion. Remember now where he works the most effective is in the darkness, in the night. And the Bible makes it plain to us in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. The Bible says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If you are saved, you are a child of light. Children of light. And if the roaring lion likes the darkness, it's just this simple. Darkness is a picture of sin. Sin is the devil's domain. And if you are in the devil's domain in darkness, you can't cast him off his own property. But if you want to cast him off of you when he bothers you and rebuke him, then you have to be walking in the light. If you're walking in the light, the truth is made manifest through light, and even though he loves the darkness, now this is my problem. The church world today loves darkness more than light. They love the evil more than good. They love the things associated with the world more than the things associated with God. Now listen, if you rebel it up in the world all week long and the devil comes calling, it's your fault, you got in his territory and he'll eat you alive. But if I want to have power and authority over the devil, I have to walk in the light and walk in truth. And if I walk in truth, he's got to come to my domain, and that's where the Lord has all power over him. Second of all, remember that he is not only has a nocturnal sense, but think about his visual sense. Did you know that a lion doesn't see like we see? More than just being able to see in the dark and operate in the dark, we operate better in the light. You know that's true. For any of you that's like myself, that you have vision problems, when you go to the eye doctor, when they turn that light on that card, can't you see it so much better? I wish I had one of those lights everywhere I go. And as you get older, it seems like you need more light because you see better in the light. And we are children of light. We operate better in light than darkness. You don't believe that? Wake up in the morning, set stuff all around your room before you go to bed at night. Wake up in the morning, you'll walk around it with no problem. Set stuff in your room, go to bed, wake up in the dark, and see how long it is before you bump your foot or fall on your face. because we don't operate well in darkness. We operate better in light. So he sees different, not only in darkness, but his vision is different in that we have the ability to separate things that are joined together. Now, stay with me. I want to give you a little explanation of what I'm trying to say here. Have you ever seen any of those safaris or where they take them out in nature in Africa and they take them out in what's called safari trucks or vehicles? You familiar with what I'm saying? So they'll go out and they'll drive right up to a pride of lions and park right in the middle of a pride of lions. Now let me ask you something. Why doesn't those lions attack the individuals that's sitting in that truck? Sometimes they're in a Jeep. And they'll go all around it. They'll smell the Jeep. They'll inspect the Jeep. But people that have taken safaris, I've heard them say this a lot, their guides will tell them, because it's very terrifying. Here you are in a little vehicle and the vehicles are open. Are you with me? They got a canvas top on, they'll pull the canvas top back and you're sitting in the open and here you are setting up and a lion's right down. And they say that is the most terrifying experience ever because these massive lions are all around you and you're just feet away from them and you wonder why don't they kill you? But the guides always tell them the same thing. As long as you stay in the truck or stay in the vehicle, you will not be bothered because lions, they do not see everyone separately in that vehicle. They don't have the ability with the rods in their eyes and the things that separate the way their eyes is made. They don't have the ability to look at the truck and say that person's in the truck and that person's in the truck and that person's in the truck. When they look at the people and the truck, they're all one and they're all bigger than the lion. So the lion can't see them individually. The lion sees them as a group collectively. So the lion doesn't attack them because the lion knows they're bigger than what I am. I don't know if you've got this yet or not. The Bible says that when we pray, we're to pray in agreement that if any two shall agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done by my Father that's in heaven. Anything that we agree together, when we come together in agreement. Why did God say that? That's the same passage just before the passage that he said when two are gathered together, two or three in his name, he's in the midst. Why does he say that? He is saying to us that as long as we stay together, the Lord doesn't see us individually. The Lord sees us and the lion sees us as someone that is bigger. The lion looks down and doesn't say this morning while you're in church, I see this one and I see that one and I see that one. No, what he sees is the church of the living God. And we come together in agreement. Suddenly we are bigger than the lion. And to make matters worse, in the midst of two or three that comes together, there is Jesus. And Jesus is biggest of them all. And when he comes, he doesn't see me. He doesn't see you. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ and his church as one. And he says, I can't attack them. That's why there's power in unity. That's why you need to covenant together with other people that believe the word of God and come into fellowship with people because you're going to be attacked. But if you're attacked collectively, how many times have you heard me say from this pulpit, the devil made a mistake when he thought he could pick on one of us? Because he didn't pick on one of us, he picked on all of us. So that tells me something. Stay with the group. Stay in the flock. Stay with the church. Don't let the devil, do you know why he roars? To try to separate you from the flock. He wants you to be separated from the group. Now, when you're separated, he sees you as one. That's why a lot of people are trying to do it on their own. And I'm here to tell you, if you try to do it on your own, God never intended it to be that way. God intended us to come together. And if we try to do it on our own, he will absolutely devour us. But if we come together, he can't do it. So he roars to spook you into leaving. It's what he wants you to do. He wants you to leave the church. I'm not talking about Rubyville. He wants you to get out of the watch care of God's people. Collectively, we need each other. Now stay with me. So he sees his visual sense is different. His nocturnal sense is different. But then his territorial sense is different. It's all about territory with a lion. It's all about marking its territory, claiming its territory. Now, the lion sees humans differently because he sees a human as a super predator because we're on two legs. We're taller. So he sees you as a super predator to him. You are a threat to the devil. I don't want to go into overtime this morning. Let me put it real plain to you. The devil is afraid of us. So why are we afraid of him? The devil has power, but the Lord has given the church all power. The devil is great, but Jesus is greater. So why suddenly do we find ourselves at a place? Now I'm going to give you something that may help you today. Again, I was reading several of the guides. They talked about if you are ever on a nature trail as a group, walking, and you come in contact with a lion, remember to do one thing. Stand your ground. In fact, what they advise you to do if there's a group of you to get in a single file. The tallest in front and everyone behind them. But whatever you do, if the lion charges you, do not move. Put your feet down. Make noise. Wave your arms. Don't run from him. Because really, he's doing that because he is afraid of you. But if you run, you have suddenly allowed him to discover his roar has made you afraid of him. And if he senses that you are afraid of him, he will chase you and he will kill you and he will absolutely win. This message helped me because there's several animals that I'm afraid of. I am. I'm afraid of them. Some of you are afraid of them. But now, how many of you believe the Bible? Look at those hands. Boy, I got you on the hook now. Turn to Genesis 9:2. Let me show you something that God imparted to me a few days ago when I was studying this. Genesis 9:2. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 2. This is after Eden. This is after sin. This is after Adam and Eve has now been driven from the garden. And you remember when God created man and woman, he gave them dominion over all the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air. You remember that, don't you? And people say, well, we still have that dominion. No, now there is a battle. They're no longer in Eden. And they no longer have the dominion, but they have the advantage. What's the advantage? Notice Genesis chapter 9 and verse 2. And the fear of you, he's speaking to mankind, people. The fear of you, and the dread of you shall be upon, what's the next word? Every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes in the sea, of the sea, into your hand they are delivered. Did you know God made all animals afraid of us? Now, either it's the word of God or it's not the word. Their nature now is they are afraid of humans. And the only way they can overcome us is if we are more afraid of them. So when we get afraid of them, they sense the fear. And they sense, I thought this was your territory, but if it's your territory, you wouldn't be running. But since you're running, it must not be your territory. So therefore, I'll make it my territory. That's what the beast does. That's what the roaring lion does. He roars for one reason, and that is to simply put fear on us, that he has control over us. And until we get back to that place to say, wait a minute, I don't have all dominion naturally any longer, but I tell you what I do have. I have the advantage. I may be afraid of you for a moment, but you are more afraid of me, not because of who I am, but because of the authority of who God is and what God says in his word. Therefore, we come against the enemy as to say, you may try to get me with fear, but the simple truth is you're more afraid of me, because I am going to plant my feet, I'm going to stare you in the eye, I'm going to make some noise and raise my hands, and I'm going to let you know this is my promised land. You cannot have it, you cannot take it, it is mine. Why do you think when people get ready to die that suddenly fear gets greater? Can I tell you why? Nobody wants to know, so I'll move on. Oh, you do want to know why. Because the closer you get to your promise, the more he roars. When you were born, before you were ever born, when you were in your mother's womb, God ordained you for a purpose. God gave you a destiny. And the closer you get to that destiny, the more the devil will roar. And the more he roars, the more fear that he's trying to put in you and to overcome you. But you've got to remember something. Wait a minute. You're afraid of me. I'm not afraid of you. I don't know if you can handle this or not this morning, but the truth of the matter is, I would advise you with the devil to not only stand your ground, but I would advise you to run to the roar. The more he roars, the more you attack him. And the more you attack him, the more you tell him, this is my destiny. This is my promise. This is what God has given to me. You're not going to scare me off of it. You're not going to run me out of it. I'm going to stand on the authority of God's word. And he has given us total authority as to say, in Jesus' name, nothing shall harm us. Devil, roar all you want. You cannot defeat a child of God. We're going to run to you instead of from you. And the truth of the matter is, God's given you the authority. There's a good fear and there's a bad fear. A good fear is a natural reaction. Today, coming to church, we have a lot of snow, a lot of ice. If you're tires started to spin, naturally you'll react. That's a good fear. Car pulls out in front of you from across street, you're going to swerve. That's a good fear, but that's a temporary fear. This fear, this spirit of fear, is a chronic fear that leaves you disabled. This kind of fear says, I'm going to get you with coronavirus. And you're not going to be able to breathe. And you're going to suffer. And you're going to be in a hospital. And it'll be the most torturous death you've ever faced. And you'll die saying, where's God at? But but the child of God says, don't you threaten me with heaven. My light afflictions work for me a far greater weight of glory. My light afflictions is a doorway that leads me to life everlasting. And by the way, He has already put you underfoot. And there's one place that you can never roar. And that is when they lay our body in the grave. Our spirit will already be with Christ. And you have no dominion in the promised land. And you have no power in the promised land. And you have no place in the promised land. So roar all you want. You can't stop me. I've made up my mind. I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price no matter what others do. I'm determined to run to the roar and say, heaven is mine. Run to the roar. He wants you to be controlled by fear. God, when you were born, you weren't born with that fear. Every fear you have is an add-on from the devil. Now, I'm not talking about fear in the term of respect, fearing authority. I'm talking about chronic fears that control and manipulate you to prevent you from being what God wants you to be. That's an add-on. God didn't put that in you when you were born. Would you help me preach this morning? He didn't put that in you when you were born. He just didn't. Not in me, not in you. We're children of light. We're born in innocence. The nature of sin takes control. And you'll find out the farther you go in sin, He'll make you convinced of the fact that because you're not afraid of certain things, but the truth of the matter is you're going to die, you're going to meet the Lord. And the difference is, if you don't know the Lord and you're walking in darkness, fear will have the final say. But if you have Christ and you face death, faith has the final say. Because somewhere in the darkness, there is another lion. He is of the tribe of Judah. And he can see in the dark. And he can say, you got to pass through this one ravine called death. But I've already gone through it before. I've already defeated the enemy for you. So in that hour, you can still, with all that is within you, say, there is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. He's bidding us to come. He's bidding us to trust Him. Some of you are crippled by fears today. I'm not saying you're a bad person. We all battle this. Did you not hear me say He's your adversary? There's some kind of fear that He'll roar against you in your life. You don't have to tell me what that fear is. And you don't have to tell anybody else what that fear is. But today, I want you to join me in prayer right now. Father, you said in your word, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Lord, I rebuke every spirit of fear that comes against me in my life. Lord, may people today rebuke the roar of the lion. And instead of being crippled by fear, may they run to you and find grace, power, might, sound mind, and love.